Hi, Robert hier. Dieser Podcast wird euch präsentiert von der Hannover Messe. Wir sagen vielen herzlichen Dank an die Kollegen in Hannover und jetzt geht's los. Robotik in der Industrie. Der Podcast mit Helmut Schmidt und Robert Weber. Hallo liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, willkommen zu einer neuen Folge unseres Podcastes Robotik in der Industrie. Mein Name ist Robert Weber und dieses Mal haben wir uns wieder beim Industrial AI Podcast ein bisschen bedient, denn Peter Seeberg hat eine super spannende Aufnahme gemacht mit den Kollegen vom Fraunhofer IPA, die eine Studie zum Thema humanoide Roboter herausgebracht haben. Es gibt also jetzt heute eine englischsprachige Folge. Humanoide, ist der Hype berechtigt? Und viel Spaß damit wünschen Helmut und Robert. Bis bald.
Hi there, welcome to a new episode of the Industrial AI Podcast. My name is Peter Seeberg. I'm your host and I'm going to be talking to Simon Schmidt. He is Senior Manager, Automated Intralogistic Manufacturing and Assembly Systems at Fraunhofer IPA. And Simon and I are going to be talking about humanoid robotics, game changer or hype? Question mark. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Peter. I'm very happy to be able to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it as well. I just had another podcast and the topic of the humanoids comes up all the time. And I'm so much looking forward to hear from you because you've been doing a survey. But before we get there, why don't you please first introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So just a brief introduction of myself. So I studied industrial engineering and management at DKIT. And then for a short time, I was a researcher at University of Stuttgart with a focus on monetization of manufacturing data. And now since nearly 4 years, I'm at the Fraunhofer IPA. So I don't know if it's common to your listeners, but it's the Institute for Manufacturing Engineering and Automation. And now since, I think, last year, July, I'm pretty glad to be responsible for this business unit you already told the listeners. And maybe just a few words regarding our institute. So we're having more than 50 years of experience regarding robots and automation, and we focus on applied research. And I think that's why it's super interesting talking about humanoid robots for the industrial context. And yeah, we're working together with around 1,000 colleagues here at the Institute. And I think we can have quite an impact on automation and robotics.
And the 1,000 colleagues, that is at the Fraunhofer IPA, right?
Yeah, that's at the IPA, just our institute.
And that's just for those global listeners. I believe most of the German listeners will probably know, but that is Fraunhofer IPA is one of how many sections or sub-institutes of the total Fraunhofer?
To be honest, it changed over time. I think actually I think actually there are about 70 different institutes, right. But the Fraunhofer IPA is one of the biggest. So overall, I think there are 30,000 employees at Fraunhofer.
At Fraunhofer. Applied research, as you said, very important. Good. Let's start at the beginning. We're talking humanoids. We're talking humanoid robots. What is a humanoid? What is a humanoid robot?
Yeah, thanks for this question. It's a good question at the beginning because there is no unique definition of a humanoid. So we also saw that in our survey we did. Actually, everyone has got any understanding of a humanoid robot, but we do not have this one definition. To be honest, so a lot of guys think a humanoid has to look like a human. So it needs two legs, two arms, maybe a head. But the other side is many researchers and guys think, hey, a humanoid doesn't need legs to be a humanoid robot.
Do not need legs.
Yeah, exactly. So there is no unique definition. some of the guys say, okay, without legs, it's not a humanoid robot. But the others say, hey, if it's mobile and has two arms, so in a robotic speech, just a two-arm manipulator mobile, then it also can be a humanoid.
I understand. Yeah, I guess we're going to get into the details later. Yeah, my private expectation would have been with the first group. You know, it looks like a human, right? So for that reason, yeah. I mean, and that's, I would almost have said, like, when these days you see them daily, new imagery of wherever they come from, and you're going to share that with us. Typically, it is exactly that. It's a robot that typically walks, has legs, has arms, can do maybe many more things with those arms and a head and eyes. But there you go. It's important to learn from you that there's not, as has been so many times the case, even with artificial intelligence, there is not a single definition that the market has agreed upon. Now, as a further introduction, maybe, as I said, I mean, me personally being very much interested in, you know, humanoid robotics have dominated the tech news in the recent months or years. Yeah, I mean, stronger and stronger all the time. So maybe you want to tell us a little bit more. You already talked about there's people who think in different terms how a humanoid looks. How would you set the scene for what the advocates and the critics of humanoid robotics, what they have been saying before then getting into the results of the survey?
Yeah, for sure. So the advocates told us, hey, we need a general purpose robot that is able to perform many tasks so that the high costs are justified. And it needs a body that is optimized for the environment. So those guys say, hey, we need, especially in the brownfield factories, we need a robot that is able to perform tasks like humans are doing today. At the other side, we have some critics, and they say, hey, to be honest, form follows function. And that's why maybe the human body is not perfect for manufacturing contexts. And those guys think, hey, we're able to create and build robotic systems that are much cheaper, efficient, more efficient and faster than humanoid robot for specific tasks. So the question is, do we really need a robot that is so flexible like we humans are?
Okay, thank you for that. Now, you did a study. Now, do you want to share some key figures with us? Maybe tell us a little bit about how you did the survey, what markets, what were the type of companies, the type of people that you talked to, some of the base information.
Yeah, so we did this survey at the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, and we gathered 113 answers, and we splitted the survey. So one type of the survey was an interview part, and we did interviews with different experts, mostly from German industry. And after that, we did an online survey and gathered more information from experts, also mostly German, but also from other areas or regions of the world. And overall, we had more than or 55% system integrators and component manufacturers. And at the other side, we had 45% potential end users. And we split the whole answers because we thought maybe the system integrators have different answers than the end users. And yes, sometimes they differ regarding the answers. And most of the companies were out from the automotive industry or mechanical engineering.
Right. And typically all of them worked within a, let's say, manufacturing, design, engineering, execution, manufacturing world, or?
Exactly. So we're not able to guarantee it 100% because we not really know by the online survey who really answered it, but yeah, probably yes.
Sure. But the point is more is like, you know, there could be another study which maybe another Fraunhofer or some kind of other institute could do with the interest with regards to humanoid robots in a, you know, consumer space. And that specifically is not what you did. You are interested in the potential use, understanding of how people working in a manufacturing environment, how they see humanoids.
Exactly, yes. So you will see later on when we're talking about technological topics, for instance, then they are also important for other areas, but we focused on the manufacturing industry.
Right. You may want to enlarge that or go into a little bit of more detail on what exactly was the aim, what is the goal of your study?
Yeah, so as you already said, actually there are so many news. Every one of us sees so many videos from the US, from China, all around the world. And it's quite hard to say, okay, what is fake, what is real? And the big question, what can we really achieve with those robots? What are they able to do? And especially, I think, in Europe and Germany, maybe we're a bit late in this context. And we tried with this survey to give an overview, what is the market side? Because a lot of those videos we see having this technology push, but the question is, what does the market really needs? And that's what we try to figure out, what the market wants out of those humanoid robots.
Which is then exactly the subtitle of your survey. You say late, but you want to understand what late means. Is it really late because we're missing a game changer, or are we not late because there's more hype than the game changer? And I guess that's what we're going to learn from you today, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we focused on this question and we tried to have an answer. And we will come back to this later, I think.
Very good. Yeah. So let's move into the results. You have a couple of subsections, which I guess we're going to be moving into one after the other. There's technological topics, economic, legal, political, and then societal topics. Now, starting with then the first group of the technological topics, maybe you want to share with us which are considered to be the main application scenarios for the humanoid robots in production and logistics.
So overall, what we saw is the main application scenarios mentioned mostly simple tasks. So what we got out of it was like the most mentioned one was material transportation. So for instance, carrying a box from place A to place B. A lot of the participants told us, hey, machine tending is also very important, and we think that might be an application scenario, and also the gripping of complex objects. And those are the three most mentioned application scenarios. We had some more, for instance, the use of power tools or assembly tasks, but yeah, the first three were most mentioned by the participants. And maybe to just figure out, we think to be profitable, so a humanoid robot must be super flexible. So just a material transportation will not bring us the perfect application scenario because it's a simple task.
Right, but you say in the combination with the flexibility, where maybe today's material transportation solutions are more unflexible, I don't know. And you say if in combination the humanoid provides a flexibility and can act in many different variations of material transportation, then it could be a sensible thing to consider.
Yes, yes. So what we're telling also our customers or interested people is, hey, we do not need a use case. So you can use a humanoid for carrying a box from A to B, but we need a business case. So no one, I suggest, would buy a humanoid robot for €100,000 that carries a box from A to B again and again, because we have much cheaper and better automation systems doing this. But if the humanoid is able to perform in parallel some other tasks, then it might get interesting and can be a business case.
Right. Okay. I hear business case and I hear flexibility. So I think top skills, maybe then, or maybe they are related. You can talk to those as well. And at the same time, maybe also the biggest obstacle. So from a technological perspective for the humanoid robots in these use cases.
So we asked the participants, what do you think? What do you really need regarding the skills of a humanoid robot? And the five top skills were, first, the indoor navigation. A humanoid robot needs to navigate indoor completely free and autonomously. The second one was the environmental surveillance. Then we had allocating and sorting objects, the walking on flat ground, and at least the carrying loads. And what was interesting, we also tried to figure out what our actual humanoid robots are able to do. So what are their skills they can perform right now? And it's interesting, they fit really good together to the demanded skills, but they differ regarding the sensitivity and accuracy. So maybe to give an example, especially in manufacturing context, the accuracy is quite important. I have to take pieces out of a machine or put it in a machine, and it's really difficult to have this accuracy. And that's one point where the demanded skills do not really fit actually to the technology we see.
Okay, it's a very good example. That maybe moves into the obstacles for, you know, humanoid robots being put into action for these use cases. Are there any other ones, or maybe, you know, other ones that are at a higher level than this one?
Yeah, for sure. So what we really often talking about is the safety issue. So today we do not have a regulated safety. And often you see videos where the humanoid robots working separated from the humans because we have this safety issue. And that's for sure the biggest obstacle. But what I really like, and that's one of my most famous points in this study, is one of the biggest obstacles are the high expectations. Because, yeah, that seems to be funny because Every C-level CEO, whatever, sees those videos and tells, yeah, hey, we need those robots. We need those robots. And then also we as Fraunhofer, we got calls, we got emails, and they tell us, hey, we want to see all those different humanoid robots. We want to use them. And then we're saying, hey, stop. They're too high expectations, because actually it's not that easy to just buy a humanoid, a robot, and take it into action in your company. And that's why I like this obstacle, what was mentioned.
Yeah, strongly with you. I was going to ask for the reasoning for that, assuming that it was exactly the videos that you mentioned. Yeah, what should I say? So at least these days, I'm not sure, but a couple of months back, maybe a year back, those that were honest, they were showing you at least that they had sped up the video. It says like times three, times five, something. And still, and then not still, these days, it's... there was one yesterday I saw, it doesn't matter which one it is, and the person who shares it on LinkedIn in this case says, I just cannot believe what I'm seeing. And that is still the question, if it is honest and true what we're seeing. And then, as you say, the CEOs, they see it and say, oh, that's what we want. And then maybe what what they can buy from the market today maybe not always has that capability. Nevertheless, any other obstacles you may want to share, or moving to the economic topics?
Yeah, so additionally, maybe additionally to the ones we mentioned, also the not economical feasible use cases is also an obstacle. But what maybe is we should mention is the complex programming. Because why I think this is interesting is one of the biggest fields we believe is how to tell a humanoid robot what to do. Because the one side is the hardware. We need this humanoid body, hands, and stuff like this. And we have some challenges there. But it's super challenging having this training of a humanoid and programming of a humanoid. And that's what really impressive and really impressive aspect in those videos. I don't know if I'm able to mention companies here in this podcast.
Sure, please do. No problem.
Because when you see, for instance, the Helix video from Figure AI a few days ago, that's what really, really seems to be interesting. We do not really know how they do it, if it's imitation learning or what they're really doing, but that's really, really awesome. And I think that's the big obstacle. We need those opportunities to tell the humanoid, hey, do this or that.
No. Right. I'm not sure we're going to get there at some point. My assumption is they're using, let's say, foundation models, large language models, that kind of technology. We did a podcast about robotic foundational models, robots that need to understand the world. Not sure where we are at that point. We don't need to move into that, but any of these obstacles, they of course drive, if we then move into the economic topics, the expected time to market maturity. Can you share that with us? Because that's what you asked about as well, I believe.
Yeah, so many guys are asking, okay, if those videos might be just marketing stuff or maybe fake sometimes, what is the expected time to market? And we took this question and asked our participants, what do you think? Because the most of those participants are really into robotics and really into humanoid robotics. And the most of them told us, hey, we think 74% think, so it will last 3 to 10 years when we really have a humanoid robot in our manufacturing. And just 6% thinks, hey, it's less than 3 years. But overall, 80% think, hey, we will not have to wait 10 years for integrating humanoid robots in our manufacturing.
And then at the same time, maybe the one that I refer to was also the Figure video, I think. So on one hand, we see these crazy videos. And then on the other hand, we have specialists from a specific market, in this case, mainly Germany. And the question then is, because that was the question you, I believe you're trying to answer, are we late? Are we late or are we missing something? You know, is there a completely new perspective on? At the same time, I do assume that the people you have been asking to, that they have a global perspective and at least know what's happening. So anyway, that's what they have been telling. So the majority sees that we're not going to have the humanoids within the factory within 3 to 10 years. Now, what is the willingness to pay for a humanoid robot in the factory?
So this question is a bit difficult to answer because we asked the participants, hey, what do you think you want to pay for a humanoid robot? But I think, or just coming to the figures, the most of them told us, hey, if it's under 100k euro, we will buy a humanoid. But the question behind is, what is this humanoid able to perform? What kind of tasks? So if we really at one time having humanoid robots that can perform different tasks exactly like humans, then this calculation, ROI calculation, is so easy to do. Then I think a lot of companies will also spend 200 or 300k. But actually, most of them told us, hey, if it's cheaper than 100,000 euros, we're open to buy one. And what is interesting, that the big humanoid manufacturers, they have a target price of under 50,000 euros. So this fits quite well.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen prices even below that, more like towards 20,000 or something. So that's interesting. That's my first reaction hearing from you that people are willing to pay 100,000. But exactly as you say, it is, of course, it can only be related to the capabilities of, and if it's the same people say, I'm expecting, so between the 3 and 10, let's say, you know, 6 years, in 6 years, they're going to be doing, you know, things at the level of a human, and then they are willing to pay 100,000 or maybe even more, as you say, directly related to their capabilities. Moving to the next topic is then legal. Are there any legal topics that you may want to share, things that you asked about?
So we already mentioned the biggest legal topic and obstacle, and that's the safety. So maybe it's specific in a German and European countries, but the safety is a big, big challenge. And also the human-robot collaboration, because when thinking about humanoid robots, mostly we think about a robot working together with humans. And this human-robot collaboration is quite difficult with humanoid robots, especially when they have two legs and have different grippers. And that's one of the biggest challenge. And especially in Germany and Europe, we have this machinery directive. And the most of the participants told us, hey, this one has to be updated for humanoids. And as far as I know, they are updating it so that humanoid robots are also considered.
Yeah. So our typical industrial robots have been working in the past in their cages. You know, we could not get in, and if we moved inside, we had to have a code or whatever. When we opened the door, then the robot would go into rest mode, I guess. And I was now thinking and then we started the idea of the human robot collaboration. And now I was thinking, so we have one, two more topics, political, social. I was almost thinking maybe we need also a psychological topic for, you know, humans that will be working with a humanoid next to them, you know, rather than instead a human next to them. With the human you talk about, you know, what was on TV last night, are we going to go for a beer after work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and which I assume in the potential human-robot collaboration is going to be a different topic, right?
Yeah, so it's a different topic, and we will come to this later. The question you mentioned, hey, am I able also to talk to the humanoid robot as I'm talking to my colleague right now and having a conversation? But just one point to the safety when able to do this. As far as we know, the manufacturers of the humanoid robots actually thinking about strategies how to avoid safety issues. So maybe one strategy is that a humanoid get on his knees when a human is coming. But I think we agree that that might not be the best strategy when we have an area where the humanoid robot really tries to collaborate with humans. But they have different strategies to avoid this safety issue.
Yeah, it's not that easy to imagine. Okay, yeah, you can refer some more details later on. There is a political section as well. What is that about? What is the questions that you ask as far as political is concerned?
So we wanted to know from our participants, hey, what do you think we as Germany? So this question focuses on Germany. What shall we do to push this topic? So at the one hand side, we were talking to the end users and integrators, but the question is, in Germany, what are we able to do to take part in this humanoid, let's say, race? Because actually we do not have a lot of humanoid manufacturers. We do not have these big figure Eptronic unitary companies in Germany. And the question is, what is our job in this humanoid race, and what do we as society need to get into this race? And so in Germany, most of the participants told us, hey, we need more funding and more research in this field, and need more money, let's say this, to develop new technologies, to develop also hardware in this context.
then let's see for the political parties to make sure that they're going to put a big enough piece of the very big cake that they're thinking about to put it in R&D for humanoids. Social topics, I just mentioned just as a thought I had, you know, I called it psychological. That's maybe very close to the social environment, which you talked to, which you asked questions about as well.
Yeah, it's close. And so we wanted to know from our participants, hey, do you think that humanoids impending job losses or is there any correlation? So most of the participants told us, no, there's no influence or just a minor influence. And that's interesting. We also divided the answers regarding a management or team leaders, project management and skilled workers. And it's interesting that the skilled workers told us, hey, we think there is potential or a major influence of our job losses. But to be honest, we have to mention this. We just had like 5 answers from skilled workers. We have to make a bigger survey on this to really have an outcome.
Okay, yeah, right. So one is so cause as a cause. So humanoid comes, a cause is the loss of a job of a human. The other, turning the question around, not sure that you have a perspective on that, is that these days, wherever we come, all day through in the morning to the afternoon, when we're in social media, when we walk around, when we go to a bakery, it's closed. I was this morning walking past, I think it was a gardener's facility, and it was saying because of the personal situation, it seems to be where we are, where I am, and I hear from many other people, let's say in the Western world, so to speak, it's we don't have people, and so many people towards their 60s, 65 are going to be going and enjoying their life without work. So then it's also often the opportunity of, you know, doing more automation, maybe if we cannot find the human. And that is what I've heard many times. I'm not sure you have an answer on that one. Is the main reason for going with the humanoids is we can keep the factory as it is. And then if we cannot find humans, then we can put a humanoid on exactly the same spot if, as long as the humanoid can do the job that the human has been doing, right?
Yes, exactly. So often the humanoid robots are like a science fiction and they are connotated badly. But if a humanoid robot is able to substitute today's worker, we don't talk about getting rid of an employee. But as you told, we have a lack of skilled workers. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to keep this value creation in Germany. And that's why we think maybe there is the opportunity for humanoid robots to keep the value creation, because we do not have these skilled workers today, and probably it's getting more worth in the future.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be asking you for your conclusion to put it all together, recommendations for action. The reason I have heard many times is, as I just said, but for me, that sounds like a transitional thing. So if I build a factory 5 years ago, and within discrete manufacturing, depending a little bit, you know, there's areas like automobile, which maybe you build just a new factory 2 years later, 3 years later. Other areas take 10 years, processes more 30, 40 years. But if I want to continue to run a certain approach, a factory for another, let's say 10 years, then sure. And as soon as the humanoids can do things that humans have been doing and I cannot find a human, then it makes all the sense. But that makes sense only for me on this transitional phase and not necessarily for the next factory. So, but that's only my personal view. Maybe you want to comment on it, and I'm asking you to just put it together. What have you learned? What is the conclusion, and what are the recommendations for action that you want to share with us out of your study?
So first of all, I totally agree. If you want to build a complete new factory and you're able to have like a dark factory, you will not make a concept of your factory and consider humanoid robots. Because if you're able to build a dark factory, you will not consider humanoid robots.
But yeah, because they can't see if the factory is dark.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to put the lights on again so they can see.
Yeah. Okay. So we agree on this, but yeah. Mostly we have brownfield. Mostly we have existing factories. And that's where there is the chance for humanoid robots.
Yep.
And if those humanoid robots will be multi-purpose robots, are able to perform different tasks, and are able to perform value creation tasks, and can replace human workers, then we think they might be really a game changer. But, and I think it's important to say this because we had this high expectation topic a few minutes ago. Actually, we have quite a gap between a humanoid robot and a human. And even if we have specific tasks, it's really hard for a humanoid robot to perform those specific tasks. So with today's level of technological maturity, I do not believe that they are a game changer, but when thinking maybe 1 year ago and comparing it with today, we're having such huge steps in the technological side. So I believe there might be big chances for humanoid robots getting into the factory. But to be honest, today, there isn't really a business case for today's humanoid robots.
Good. One more then additional close off a question, like how... Where is this big gap coming from, you know? And we have to be honest, let's take as an example at, you know, German car manufacturing, very high level brands have been sold on a global level, are in a specific situation. Here we are now talking about the manufacturing of, for example, these cars, but any other piece of equipment as well in the discrete manufacturing. And here we have a study which has been mainly amongst people, specialists in this very specific market, which maybe have been coming out of the world of the manufacturing robotics. And you have just shared with us what their view, what their perspective is, which is very strongly towards they are not capable of doing what humans can do today. And maybe they can do so within, you know, towards the next 10 years. That is the one side. And again, coming back to you said, you know, the imagery that we see every day, the amazing videos that we see, they are typically from companies, can I say, from the United States, from China. Where is this gap? Is it difficult for you as for me to understand how come that they are showing these capabilities, you know, assuming that they also need a business model for what it is that they are showing us?
This gap, I believe, is belonging to the tasks we want to have in factories. So because when looking those or watching those videos, you often see capabilities you do not really need in a factory. Yeah, so they can do crazy moves. They can maybe also grab an apple or a ketchup. But in the factory, we need different tasks. We need the accuracy. We need the sensitivity, the dexterity, stuff like this. And to me, it shows we humans are very, very well designed. And we're a super capable, let's say, machine. And it's unbelievable how a human can perform tasks. And I think, yeah, there has to be a big intelligence in the backbone to create a human. But we are now at the first steps having a humanoid robot getting near to a human performing specific tasks.
Yeah, maybe I'd almost forgotten, but of course you're correct. And again, I think we're referring to the same, is it a figure or which one is it, that has these amazing capabilities of moving. And yes, and they are then, but still, having said that, yes, I'm with you. Okay, so assuming that the target audience, that the target market of the humanoids is not the factory, has not been the factory, but is, you know, whatever, the social environment, the home, living, maybe, you know, whatever, other environments, hospital service, probably service robotics, etc., which is not what we here, Industrial AI Podcast, concentrate about. Still, nevertheless, interesting always to look outside and see what we can learn. Having said that, I do recall a couple of months back when is a BMW were expecting, was it a figure actually in their, I believe, US production. So just as an example, happens to be a German car brand, but nevertheless, who were very much looking at, and we have seen the videos of humanoids, you know, doing exactly pieces of what you said, picking up whatever it was, piece, and moving it to another side. So
it's still a research topic. So at the figure videos where we have this VLA, vision language action model, so we need this to have an interaction between a humanoid robot and a human real person. And we need this at both sides. So we need it at the factory, but we also need it at home. We want to interact with the robot. And I think it's really a research topic, and a lot of money was funded in the last weeks and months in the humanoid race. And all these research topics will get into the factory humanoid processes and also in the home. So it's, I think we cannot really split those two, even if the processes that has to be performed quite be a bit different.
Simon, thank you very much. Can I put it together in a saying that your, or the persons that you talked to, that is in a German research/manufacturing robotic environment, who are dealing with the potential of humanoid robots, say the humanoid robot is not yet there to be placed in a manufacturing environment. The majority believes it's going to be more like 5 to 10 years, is what I hear. And I also hear it's going to depend on what their capabilities are then going to be, if there's going to be a market for them or not, or if we're going to continue to produce very specific robotic systems, which we will then not call robotic because they're not going to have, you know, eyes and a head, and maybe they're not going to have legs, etc.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summary, and I agree with this, yes.
Simon, thank you very much for your time. What was I expecting? Not sure what I was expecting. I do know, I believe that humans have always had this very special, what is it, not relationship. I think when humans, we see, and I think in general you can say there is this, oh, if we see, and that's what for me the humanoid is, you know, a mechanical piece, like the original where the word robot comes from 100 years ago, the theater play, we have this, oh, what's happening here? We're a little bit afraid of what's happening there. And yes, I can very well imagine. I believe that we must say that, yes, these companies, they're going to go after the consumer market first, is what I assume. And then I think we need to see another couple of years before we can then really find out if they are going to find a place in manufacturing.
Yeah, exactly. So, Peter, thank you for having me. Maybe one sentence. So a humanoid robot is still a robot. Yeah. So, of course, it's a special robot, but it's just a combination of actual technology modules. So there is a difference between the humanoid robot and the human, and I believe it's good that it is so, and it will stay there with these differences.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Simon. Have a great day and see you soon. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.